funny how you do something impulsive. Something you've got a gut feeling you shouldn't do, but you do it anyway. There's no undo button in real life. Once you do it, it's a done deal. And my whole life has revolved around those so-called deals. Being the top-selling real estate agent in town, well, it doesn't come easy. I worked very long hours. I worked weekends, and even when I wasn't actually working, well, I was on the lookout for the next house I could sell. You could almost call it an addiction. My life was my work. After hours, at home, I was constantly taking phone calls. If I couldn't sleep, I'd get on the internet and look at real estate websites. My husband didn't like it and went out at nights, and I didn't really care after a while. My real spouse, after all, was my work. Many people in my city, they called me ruthless and a backstabber. Well, that's because they were jealous of my success. Having worked this city for over 30 years, I knew just about every side street and every shortcut in town. One shortcut I used to take, usually on the way home around 8 o'clock at night, was a small, dark little road that led out to a bigger street. I'd go by there almost every night after leaving the office, and one very old, dilapidated house often caught my attention and my curiosity. It was not some old Gothic mansion, as you might imagine. No, it was a small cottage house with a few additions apparently added on over the years. Curiously, this little house had a gargoyle in front, right at the peak of the roof. It was one of those hideous things with devil wings that you might see at the top of an old brownstone. The city listed it as having been built in 1906. The name of the owner listed didn't ring a bell. And I assumed that the current owner couldn't possibly be living in this dilapidated house. The windows were all boarded up, the front porch was crooked, and it looked to be ready to tip over on its side. And the roof, well, part of it was caving in. Yet, the same owner was listed throughout the many years I drove by there. One evening, a cold, late October evening, it was unseasonably cold, and it was quite windy, and the leaves were blowing every which way. It was raining lightly, and there was an unusual fog that seemed to fall only on that small one-way street, and seemed actually at its heaviest at this mysterious abandoned home. As I got close to the mysterious house, I could just barely see a new sign in the front lawn. It had an arrow pointing at the house and said, "Haunted Halloween House, now open." I could see a crack of light barely coming through one of the boarded windows. Impulsively, I parked my car in front, got out, and started to walk toward it. I gazed up at that hideous gargoyle on top of the room. A neighbor walking his dog just happened to go by and commented that it was a funny thing. Every night, somebody seemed to remove that ugly thing, and then it would be back up there again in the morning. So this frightened me a bit, but it didn't stop me from knocking on the front door after the neighbor had left. Nobody answered, and I was about to turn around when I heard faint footsteps coming toward the door. The door opened quite uneasily, opened just a crack, and I could see the most ashen-faced person I had ever seen. He merely glanced at me and said nothing. I saw the sign for the Haunted Halloween House, I said. I awkwardly pointed at the lawn sign, and the ashen-faced man still did not say a word. Having just looked close up at the gargoyle, I saw a resemblance between it and this man. But I was sure it was just a strange coincidence. He did open the door halfway, just enough for me to enter inside. It was dark. It seemed to have real cobwebs hanging everywhere, And to try and end the awkwardness of the situation, I asked, how much is the admission, sir? He finally spoke.
No charge. Free.
Really? I said. That's surprising. These are usually fundraisers for charities.
No charity. Just doing it because.
Because why? I said in the most cheerful voice I could manage. He pointed toward the parlor.
Tour starts here. Enjoy your tour.
He must have gone into another room, I guessed, because when I turned around to look at him again, he was gone. The parlor seemed larger. In fact, the whole house seemed larger than it did from the outside. In fact, the parlor was rather large and contained several exhibits in what another sign called History's Most Notorious Murderers. I was alone with these notorious murderers. Against all common sense, I felt uneasy, and I could feel my heart beating fast. I looked around and saw likenesses of some of the most infamous murderers ever. A couple names I recognized, a few others I didn't recognize. It suddenly hit me. Okay, this is the exhibit. Now, let me get out of here. I headed toward the parlor door, but I suddenly heard a locking noise. The doorknob would not budge. Old house, I figured. Sticky old door.
You're not thinking about leaving, are you?
I heard a woman's voice say that from behind. What? I said, startled. But as I looked around, the likeness of the famous murderers remained still. I was too old a hand, heard too much nonsense in my life to believe I had imagined that voice. I now rushed at the door in a panic.
I think introductions are in order now. I'll go first. I'm Lizzie Borden. You know, Lizzie Borden took her ex, gave her father 40 whacks. But don't tell me your name. I know it already. Jill.
How did she know my name? I truly thought I would die of fright at any moment.
By the way, this body on the floor, soaked with blood, that's my dad. Say hi to our visitor, Dad.
Hello, how are ya? Nice evening, is it not?
And you may have heard of me. I'm Dr. H.H. Holmes, proprietor of the infamous Death Hotel in Chicago in the late 1880s. Check in any time you like, but you can never leave. It was I who literally invented that famous line.
He said this with a sardonic grin and then went back to being still.
And I'm Belle Guinness. You might not have heard of me, but in the early 1900s, I placed classified ads for male companionship. You might say all the respondents got much, much more than they bargained for.
It now hit me. These were actors in costume pulling off an enormous prank. There was probably a hidden camera in the room. Still shaken up, but able to control myself, I turned to the last figure and said, "And who are you, ma'am?"
"Why, I'm Nurse Jane Taubin of Boston, Massachusetts. I'm no Florence Nightingale. Just ask any of my unfortunate victims."
"I can tell you don't believe us. Yet."
"But you'll soon come around."
While there was no storm outside, suddenly the room lit up with the sound of thunder and briefly illuminated by flashes of lightning. I thought for a flash I saw the sardonic grin of the gargoyle's face staring at me. Now I was truly terrified.
"Let us elucidate, dear. We are the Council of Evil. We assumed these responsibilities upon death as a result of our earthly misdeeds. And now we carry on in eternity as administrators of evil here on this planet Earth.
The evil in the world must be orchestrated, and that's why we guide over the horrors of this side of the world with preciseness."
"But what do you want with me?"
"We were just getting to that. That man who let you in, the one who barely spoke, his name is Lionel, and like you, an actual mortal with a sinful past."
"That's right, ma'am. My daughter's always right."
"His nightly drinking meant much more to him than his wife and three children. He'd take other people's money right off the bar when their backs were turned. He ran insurance scams, and there's much, much more to him than just that. Oh, quite a nasty sort he is.
What's that got to do with me?
He's a novice of evil, you might say. We readily admit that he's not nearly as accomplished as we are. But since he's still immortal, we need his assistance to carry out the evil we are assigned to administer here on the land of the living.
To put it in terms you can understand, Jill, every 3 years on this night, we recruit a new earthly assistant of evil. Lionel, who by the way used to be quite talkative, he is finishing up his 3-year tour of duty tonight, and a new recruit will replace him at midnight.
You don't mean me? I'm not evil. I'm not even a little evil.
Oh yeah, let's look over your records here. Back when you were younger, you could have any man you wanted. Yet your shy college roommate, she finally gets a boyfriend and you just had to steal him away.
Aw, come on. I was 19 then.
We're just starting. You were the highest billing real estate agent in town before you turned 30. And yes, a lot of it was due to hard work.
But a lot of it was through backstabbing other people, including your own co-workers, one of whom lost his job because you spread rumors he was absconding the company's money. And you wound up getting most of his accounts.
A nice job, Jill, with that apartment building you invested in. You knew there was a problem with the electrical system, but you took the same approach that I would take. You did nothing, and that led to that awful fire. 3 people died that night.
I did everything the city fire code required. Not my fault.
Yeah. How many palms have you greased down at the housing department? Many. And there's lots more about you we don't even have the time to get into tonight. Anyway, bottom line is that due to your penchant for amoral behavior, you've been chosen to be our new representative to carry out our evil deeds here on Earth for the next 3 years.
No, I don't want to. I can't.
Ha, but you have no choice, dearie. You've been selected. You can't say no to the selector. If it makes you feel any better, all of us here must answer to the selector.
Well, here I am. You know that ugly gargoyle on top of the house? It looked a lot like the last guy because it was the last guy. For 3 years on the peak of the roof in suspended animation till the sun goes down. Then he would mysteriously disappear at night and be back by dawn. Now, a few of the neighbors are commenting about that slightly different-looking new gargoyle. It resembles more of a woman's face now, specifically my face. I am now in suspended animation all day while I ponder my evil past. My lifetime of misdeeds that won me this spot up here on the roof. And sure enough, at night, I must carry out the earthly bidding of the evil forces of the universe as instructed by my 4 supervisors. Lizzie, the doctor, Belle, and Nurse Jane. So, next time you hear about something evil happening in another part of the world, or maybe even somewhere close to you, just think of me. For whatever evil happens, I was there the night before getting things set up. And I'll continue to do this until my 3-year term of office, so to speak, comes to an end. And just remember, before you judge me too harshly, there's a little bit of evil in everyone, even you.